You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Linz, what do you got?
All right, so what I've got is some awesome information today about something that happened at the Tampa Bay Rays game. For the first time in MLB history, a team's lineup was made up completely of Latino players. So they had their starting lineup including players from Cuba, who are Yandy Diaz and Randy Arozarena, the Dominican Republic, who is Juan DeFranco, Manuel Margot, and Jose Siri, Colombia, who is Harold Ramirez, Venezuela, which is David Peralta and Rene Pinto, and Mexico, who is Isaac Paredes. Not familiar with him. So the Elias Sports Bureau confirmed that it was the first time all nine hitters in a starting lineup were born in a Latin American country, and they were all wearing number 21 to celebrate Roberto Clemente Day.
Now that's cool.
Yeah.
But I have a question.
Okay.
This happened earlier today, right?
Yes.
Who'd they play?
You know, I didn't really check to look.
The reason I ask is because I wonder if they won the game. Right? I mean, this is kind of a cool thing.
They won 11-0 against the Blue Jays.
How about that?
So there you go.
How about that? A team of all Latino players won 11-0.
That's awesome.
Very cool. That's like Clinton Yates' all-white guy fantasy football team.
The settlers group or something that he called them.
I don't know what the name of the team is, but it's just one fantasy football team of exclusively white dudes. There's a baseball team.
Clint Yates has that.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And it's this is Tampa Bay, 11 runs, 11 hits, and a shutout over the Blue Jays. That game was in Toronto too, I think.
That is pretty cool. The Mets tried that. A number of years ago, and I believe the Marlins might have too, when Ozzie Guillen was the manager, they had a lot, if not all, Latino players starting.
It wasn't all, because Elias Sports Bureau says this was the first time it ever happened.
Okay, then it probably was a majority and not all of them. But yeah, it's I'm glad that's the case. Look, 33% of the league is Hispanic. So.
And isn't today the first day of Hispanic Heritage Month?
Yep.
See.
Okay.
See?
See how? See
that's
how,
why I did Game of Games.
Oh, really?
No, I'm just joking.
Really? Was it all Hispanic heritage?
They did it specifically for that.
Well, you know what I thought? I looked on my phone, and on my phone,
it actually says
first day of Hispanic Heritage Month.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that would be a nice thing to celebrate.
Yeah. I joked because I got an email from the ESPN PR people about doing something for their front row, which is like the thing, their PR arm. Mm-hmm. And I joked, my wife says, hey, Hispanic Heritage Month, baby. There's only so many guys they can go to here.
All right. Look at my man, Al Michaels. There's Uncle Big Al.
Oh, yeah. He looks like a little extra makeup, though, Uncle Al today.
Well, I mean, he's like in his, you know, mid-70s.
I mean, as someone who, doesn't need the makeup.
Come on.
There's super, super HD cameras over there at Amazon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They got the latest technology.
Yeah. I love Al, though. To me, Al speaks of big game.
Well, right on. I mean, when Al Michaels calls a game, if Al Michaels called the Tampa Bay Rays against the Toronto Blue Jays and you heard Al Michaels' voice, you'd be like, oh my God, this must be a big game.
So, taking out guys who were local, although Vin Scully was national, because I remember growing up watching the World Series and Vin Scully and Joe Garagiola on NBC were calling the World Series.
Yeah.
But just guys who specifically did national, you know, for the last 25, 30 years.
Yep.
Of all the guys, I think Buck is incredible. Don't get me wrong. But to me, Al Michaels is probably, him and Costas as a 45-year-old man and Marv Albert probably, right? Like those are the three when I think of like big time game, In one of these sports, I think of those three guys as a child growing up.
Well, the thing about Al Michaels is this. This is 2022, okay? 42 years ago.
Yeah.
When he said, do you believe in miracles? Yes.
Yeah.
That's 42 years. I was 10 years old.
Mike Ruzioni.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jim Craig.
Yeah.
How many names can we come up with?
That's it.
Two.
That's
yeah,
it.
That's all we got.
Yeah.
But seriously, like, you think about Al Michaels in 1980 saying, do you believe in miracles? Yes.
Yes!
And now here we are 42 2 years later, and Al Michaels is still the preeminent play-by-play voice of sports.
Good for him.
That's an incredible career.
An incredible run.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love him. I it's like he's like part of the family.
I talked to Uncle Big Al yesterday by email trying to get him on the show tomorrow, and yeah, he said he's traveling, which I'm kind of surprised. Like, yeah. I would have thought that tonight.
He's flying right out?
Yeah, the game ends, and PJ? Al's like, yo, fire it up. I'm coming in.
Yeah, PJ back to LA.
Right, Air Michaels.
Yeah, nice. Probably hanging out in KC for a day. Maybe he wants some barbecue.
Yeah, but then, like, tomorrow evening between 4 and 7 p.m., where's he schlepping to? I figure he'd be home by now.
He wants to chill.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think he's Russell Westbrook's neighbor for as long as Russell Westbrook still has that house.
Yeah, in Brentwood. Yeah.
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 So.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Al Michaels, to me, again, is the epitome of like, play-by-play broadcasting. Like, when I was learning to try to do this last year, I watched a ton of Al games.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Anybody else you watch?
I listen to a lot on radio because SiriusXM has a lot of people on radio that you can listen to. Like, so my guy Dave Pasch, right, who works at ESPN, does the Arizona Cardinals. So I listen to him a little bit because obviously radio and TV is going to be a lot different. There's a lot more description on radio than there would be on TV. But yeah, so I listen to Dave on radio. I'm trying to think. Who else? Was there anyone else on radio specifically?
Well, radio, if you're going to listen to somebody on radio.
Oh, Kevin Harlan?
Kevin is the best on radio because Kevin.
And Ian Eagle.
Yeah, but Kevin is the most descriptive person.
Yeah, he'll tell you the guy is like rubbing his hand sweat on the towel.
It's a hip high snap.
Yeah.
He cocks his right arm back. Yeah. He's got a white jersey with blue stripes on it. He raises it above his head right by the Steelers logo.
He's incredible. He's an animal when it comes to that. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
And clearly a nice man.
A great guy.
Yeah. Next time I see him, I'm going to tell him to bring it in just
bring
for you.
Bring it in.
Just for you.
Bring it
just
in.
Just for you.
We should have actually brought Kevin Harlan on the show this week because he called the Chargers Raiders game.
He did call the Chargers game, yeah.
We should have brought him on this week.
Text him right now?
Yeah, we'll text him right now.
Yeah.
I don't know who's doing the Westwood One Thursday night game. I think it's Ian Eagle.
Yeah.
You know, I think so.
Yeah. So anywho, Sean McVay says, quote, "One loss can be seen as a blessing in disguise." Now, do you buy that theory?
100%.
Yeah?
I do.
Okay.
Do you not?
Depends. I think football is, I think in like longer seasons, I think, you know, like basketball or baseball, like, you know, a loss or a series loss in baseball, yeah, that can come and you know, kind of make you turn some things around. In football, there's not a lot of time to turn things around. You can't really afford very many losses.
But I'll say this, that I think that I would be trying to do what Sean McVay is trying to do, which is sell myself and sell the team on the fact that losing game one at home against everybody's favorite is the best thing that could have happened to us for a variety of reasons. One.
Go ahead.
He's been pretty vocal about Cam Akers and wanting more urgency.
Oh, well, it made, now the Cam Akers thing is interesting because it makes, like, this is my interpretation of it without knowing, and maybe, you know, Sean would come on and say, no, not really. But my thing is like, oh, so he must not be like a student of the game enough for him and the coaching staff. Because immediately where I went before knowing that comment that he mentioned, I thought, well, the guy came back early from an Achilles. Maybe he's just dealing with more issues with that that are just lingering.
Yeah.
But then he made that comment. I'm like, oh, there must be like some sort of issue they're having with the preparation aspect of
it. They're saying to him, I mean, I think what they're saying out loud is, hey, dude, we need more from you on these different levels, whatever they are as defined by the coach, you know? And so I think that I could make a compelling case that losing the first game was a blessing in disguise, because it resets everybody. And by the way, I'll start with Sean McVay. Sean McVay, you know, after the season last year, not only was he being celebrated as, oh my God, this guy, he's so incredible. What an amazing coach.
Still pretty incredible.
No, he is. Yeah. But the celebration of the guy sometimes kind of gets to your own head. You know, and then you go and you get married, and then you go and you buy yourself a big fat house, and everybody's kissing your ass because they want you to come do TV, and they're trying to pull you out of coaching, and then you finally commit to the team, and then you get a big fat contract. And so, you know what? It's human nature to maybe just take a day off and feel satisfied, okay? Then you're the general manager of the team. Wow, you're such a genius. F them draft choices. What a guy. What a smart construction of a roster. Way to make moves during the season. And then you get the big fat contract. And then maybe you're just kind of a little bit satisfied because you're looking at your ring and you're looking at your bank account and everybody's kissing your ass. Okay. Then you're the quarterback. Guess what? there were no TV commercials for Matthew Stafford prior to winning the Super Bowl.
Now he's on AT&T commercials.
And now, honestly, it's not just AT&T. There's a lot of others. I mean, Matthew, yeah, I don't remember what brands they are, but I've seen Stafford on a lot of different commercials. And for a guy who, frankly, is not exactly like a boisterous personality, at least publicly, he's kind of everywhere. And so whether it's the general manager, the coach, the quarterback, the running back, the defensive back, who everybody says is the best guy in the league.
He was last year.
I understand.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that a blessing in disguise, yes, because let's all reset. Let's all remember, last year doesn't matter anymore. It's over. Yeah. It's in the history books. Nice ring.
Yeah.
Nice bank account. Nice car. Okay? But last year's last year. Now we got to reset. Mm-hmm. So listen, George, I know I'm trying to sell you on this.
You're selling me.
Am I?
Eh.
Not really?
Me.
Where are we in this? I mean, are you contemplating buying, or are you absolutely not going to be able to buy this thing?
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. I just don't know if I buy that from Sean McVay. He's kind of a grinder just by nature.
Yes, but I'll bet you that he probably looked in the mirror and said, you know what? Maybe I didn't grind quite the way I always have in pursuit of a Super Bowl, because now not only do I have a Super Bowl, not only did I chill out a little bit, because I'm sure you must have read that expose that ESPN did about him a few weeks ago, where they talked about how his parents were trying to get him to cool out because they're like, dude, your heart's going to jump out of your chest before you're 40 years old. And then he got married. All these things around him could have made him take a day off or a week off or 2 weeks off when that guy never took a second off, is all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, if I'm Sean McVay, I'm selling the exact same thing. We lost, and that's good, because we all needed to reset and understand. Just because we're the Super Bowl champs doesn't mean we just get to show up and win.
Okay.
Sean, I know you're listening, Coach. Can you feel me? Have I nailed this thing?
I don't know. Have you?
I think I have.
Okay.
I do.
I don't know.
Now, you know, we're not that far away from kickoff, so I've heated up this burger that was sent to us by Gelato Drew.
Yeah, yeah.
I've heated it up, and it's cooled off a little bit, and I'm going to cut this thing in half. Now, it's not as fresh as it was yesterday. It doesn't have lettuce and tomato and onions and pickles and ketchup and mustard and like Thousand Island dressing. It's just sort of plain, but I kind of like to start with a plain burger just to check it out, you know?
Okay.
Kind of like a cheese slice of cheese pizza.
Okay.
What's it all about?
Okay.
So I'm going to cut this thing in. My hands are clean, just so you know, and then we'll give it a shot.
Okay.
We'll give it a try.
All right. Give it a try.
I will.
You can do it on the other side?
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah. Cut this rascal in half.
Okay. You want me to have the other half?
Yes, I do.
Oh. Okay. I'll do that then. In the interim, I want to get into the Raiders a little bit.
That's a nice burger.
Oh, actually, no. Travis is going to join us.
Look at that.
This is a good burger.
It's a nice looking burger.
So every Thursday, Travis is going to join us. A, to have some shenanigans, but B, because I feel like we can have Rams conversation. Well, we can have any conversation with him, really. But specifically to the Rams, you know, he's part of the Rams broadcast. I wanted to have Travis on. And I feel like we don't have, like, a ton of connection points to Travis and Sliwa. So tell me if you're good with this. I've already made the executive decision, but either way, I'll ask you if you're good with it. I basically said Trav can come on, you know, like Trav, you know, if his schedule permitted, which it did. Lindsay reached out to him every Thursday, 5:15.
Okay,
we already have Balake at 5:45,
right,
to talk Dodgers.
It's a nice block, Rams into Tinder
into Dodgers, nice. Right. And then during the basketball season,
Slee
at 4:45. So this way we don't run into the whole thing of he's got to listen to the coach and blah, 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 bada bing, bada bang, bada boom. Right. So he can just come in and just 4:45 chat with us, and we'll do a little Lakers talk.
Okay. I like that.
Little Slee Lakers talk, okay, every 4:45 on game days.
Okay. I like this very much.
Okay.
Do you think that Slee's going to complain about Hey King?
Oh, we should ask Travis if he'll play Hey King with us. We should ask Travis if he'll play. Laura, do you think Travis will play Hey King with us?
I think he'll play ball.
Yeah. Okay.
He's a ball player.
Yeah. I don't know.
Hashtag Hey King. Send your questions. More questions today. Hashtag Hey King.
Send your hookup
if
needs.
If we win the Mandy Awards for best segment for hashtag Hey King in the most ironic way possible, just because we literally wanted to do it ironically to rip off Ask Slee, it would be the funniest moment in this radio station's history.
It would, although it might turn into a fight between Emily and Lindsay.
Oh, there's no question about that. I don't think there's any doubt about that. All right, so Trav is going to join us in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Have you ever Supermaned a hoochie?
I didn't want to say the actual word that Laura would get mad about.
Nor should I, because it's at least hoochie is more, you know,
it's more same word.
No, but it's not the same. Hoochie has a different connotation. Like, because, you know, there was a song, right? Wasn't it Uncle Luke? Ain't nothing but a hoochie mama. Hood rat, hoochie mama. From Friday?
Yeah. I remember that song.
I love the Soulja Boy.
Do you even know what that means?
What, the Soulja Boy?
No, not the Soulja Boy.
Oh,
to what? Superman that.
Yeah, I know how to Superman that.
Okay.
I mean, you fake it, so I don't know if you know how to
That's
do that.
True.
Superman and them Trader point, Joe.
I was going to say.
Use Trader the, Joe.
Use you the Trader Joe thing.
I don't fake it. I just have faked it.
That's sad, the fact that you even had to.
Well, Cappy, if I told you the circumstances, you'd understand, I think.
Yeah. I don't want to.
Travis, Cappy has mentioned that he has faked it, if you know what I mean.
Oh, how do you do that?
All right, this is going to become a very detailed conversation.
Feel free.
That's probably going to need to be off air.
This is exactly why I want Travis on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably going to have to be off air.
That seems like, but it seems physiologically complicated.
It is. I mean, there's a lot to this, guys.
Okay.
There's a lot to it.
Be careful.
Yeah, I'm just going to say this. I'm not the only guy in the world who's done it.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. I'm intrigued. you have my full attention, let's just say.
I mean, you know, you fake the punt. You fake, well, in your case, I fake a field goal.
Yeah,
right.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. I know how to do that.
Yeah.
Well, all I can say is this. When you're getting into the deeper innings, okay, when you're getting into the later part of the game.
You're just tired.
You're just like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. I think I understand now. Got it. Okay.
He's throwing a no-hitter. In that situation, a shutout.
He doesn't want to get want to get the last three outs.
Right.
I understand.
Yeah, you know, he just wants the closer to come in.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay,
you got it,
it,
pal.
There you go.
There you go.
What's up, Trav? How you doing, man?
I'm good. I want to know if you completed your jump rope challenge. Last time I talked to you guys, the over under was what, 80?
He knocked it out. He did 100. He could have done more.
Oh, my God. See, okay, now I'm learning that all these bets tend to go over, that he may know more about him than you and
well,
I do.
Here's where we aired, okay? Remember when he was talking about doing, like, the crisscross stuff?
Yeah.
When he tried to do that, it didn't go so well. But when he just did a regular jump rope, he was fine. Had we thrown in a few crisscrosses, like every, like, 25 or 20 maybe, we would have had a shot.
Yep, that's true.
Okay,
probably would have had a better chance.
But
Trav, it shocks me that you don't know this because we plastered it all over every social media platform. I thought you were more committed to social media than ever before.
Oh. You know, I see, just a small step forward is still more of a commitment than ever before. See, I'm a slow starter. This is a marathon, not a sprint for me. So that going from zero to one is a statistical improvement, right?
That's
so
fair.
Now that going from one to two may take a little bit more time, but we're still trending in the right direction.
Did you hear the other day that I broke Chris Morales's neck?
Oh, so George showed that to me.
I did.
And that for my first question, George, I don't remember if you know what I asked you. My first question was, does Cap know what he's doing?
Right.
Which was quickly met with, no, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Did you see? I give Morales a lot of credit for being brave enough manipulate his neck.
Right. Then did you see the way I mounted him here in the studio?
Yeah, unfortunately, I did see that. Hopefully, that also ended with you faking it.
Hey now! Travis and Sliwa, weekday mornings at 10 a.m.
They don't fake it.
They don't fake
Never.
It. Right?
Yes. Never.
So, Trav, since we only have a couple more minutes with you, we were just talking about Sean McVay. And He made this comment, I guess, this week about basically that a blessing in disguise, losing the game, yada, yada, yada. Now, Cappy has a theory. Now, if you can condense this theory to like 15 or 20 seconds,
yeah.
So that way Trav can actually have a response time here.
It's pretty simple. Yeah, it goes like, Travis, everybody needed a reset. That's all. I mean, everybody read the press clippings. Everybody's bank accounts got fat. Everybody got new houses. Everybody's got rings. This team needed to be smacked in the face to be reset. That's pretty much my thought.
I hope so. I hope that your theory is right, because at least that makes some sense. At least it makes some sense that they showed up with new houses and full bellies and everything that you're talking about, and that maybe this was, right, we got to actually play these games. That is an acceptable explanation as to what happened. We'll find out on Sunday around maybe 4 o'clock whether or not that's what it was, or whether or not they've taken a step back, whether or not having all those top-line stars that worked so well last year, that was just an unbelievable mix of winning a Super Bowl. But now that they've had some injuries, now that you have some guys that are maybe underperforming a little bit, looking at you, Jalen Ramsey, that you're going to have some depth along the way. Because if it's not what you described, Cap, if it's just that everybody's kind of backed up a little bit, this could go from a, hey, can they run it back, to a, hey, can they find a way to sneak into the playoffs? That could be a very, very different sort of team. Because Atlanta's not good. They might be a little bit better than we thought. They played pretty well in that opener. But if they struggle with the Falcons, if they have to scratch and claw and fight to get through a game that is probably the easiest one on their schedule, then I don't think it is fat and happy. I think it's something very different.
Yeah, I think you sound the alarm there, basically, in that scenario. Trav is hanging out with us here. Travis and Sliwa, weekday mornings at 10 a.m. here on the station leading into Mason in Ireland. So let me ask you this particular question in regards to Matthew Stafford, because I don't know about you. Look, man, I'm not a doctor. I'm not Dr. Clapper. I don't have Clapper
vision.
How are you? So, but
Kaplan is.
Yeah, but Kaplan clearly.
No, I'm more of a chiropractor.
Yeah. He's not an MD. Right, right. He's not an MD.
He's got a mall kiosk.
Yeah, exactly. He does. A mall kiosk is actually that we should actually do a bit with that, where like we should just put you in a mall, in like the Delamo Mall in Torrance. He just didn't look like he had a ton of zip on the ball, man. Like, and first of all, they didn't. I mean, I get why they didn't tell us about the PRP that he did or whatever to his elbow, but I'm a little worried, man, about his arm. How do you feel about it?
I kind of similar to what I said before, that I need to see what happened again, right? That if you have another event on Sunday that looked like what happened last Thursday, then maybe he didn't have a ton of time. You know, it was more of a, he didn't play well, don't get me wrong, but when you snap the ball and, you know, by the time you've caught the snap, you've got Von Miller in your face. I don't even know what your arm looks like. He didn't even have any time to really make a bunch of throws. The ones he did make were okay. I think he'll have a little bit more time against Atlanta, so I think he'll be able to evaluate that a little better. I'm far more concerned of whether or not he's going to have time to throw than how he looks when he throws it, because I think he'll figure it out. Whether he's got that same cannon that he's had for most of his career, or he's got to play a little bit differently. You know, we saw Peyton Manning do that a few years ago. Then that's a different conversation. I just like to know that he has a few seconds to actually look down the field and figure out what it is he's looking at.
Yeah, see, I'm less concerned about Stafford's arm, and I'm with you, Travis. I'm more concerned about the offensive line. And by the way, it's not just from a protection standpoint. It's from a run-blocking standpoint. George and I were just talking about the criticism of Cam Akers. It's not just Cam Akers. Is this team going to have a running game? Because no matter how much you can throw the ball and no matter how happy you are to have a great quarterback, you still at some point must be able to run the ball and again, at some point control the clock. They had no running game in the first game.
They had 49 yards running. Maybe it was 59, but regardless, it was bad, right? Whether it was Henderson, whether it was Akers or anybody else, you're right. They didn't run the ball at all. And they did that thing that when they struggled last year, they were super one-dimensional, right? They would have Matthew Stafford back there. They'd be in empty formations constantly. And when there's no threat of a run, you're much easier to defend. And that was when they went through that stretch of November where they didn't play well at all. They were back into that about halfway through the second quarter against Buffalo. I'm with you that everything starts with that offensive line. And Nopum's been hurt this week. He didn't play well last week, healthy. So we'll see what that looks like. You got your starting right guard is now your center. Your center is down. Your backup to the backup, Tremaine Ancrum, is now your right guard that what was already the biggest area of concern is presumably going to be even worse this week, at least as far as a personnel grouping goes, that, you know, Stafford and Kupp and Robinson and Ramsey and all these big names that we talked about really good other than Kupp in the opener. That's fine. That's great and all that stuff. But if those five guys up front aren't at least decent, nothing else matters. Those five guys have to be at least average, and they certainly weren't in game one.
Trav, before we let you go, Morales, because you know he's always listening. He's like the eye in the sky. I guess he's taking a shot at you about the jump rope thing, and he says, what's Travis going to ask next? So how did you guys do it, the Mandy's?
Yeah, I'm used to that. That's fine. Not well is the answer.
I mean, jeez.
Yeah, I don't look at social media.
Can't help himself.
Forgive me. Yeah, no, it's fine. I'm used to it. Yeah. Nothing new.
I mean, jeez. Anyway.
Hey, by the way, at SoFi Stadium, is there still going to be like that 400-foot mural of you and Slee this season?
Oh, yeah. No.
No. So here's it's just me. Right?
No
so
way.
Yes. So it's me pitching the app, right? Pitching the ESPN LA app. And it's me, it's Matthew Stafford, it's Cooper Kupp, and then it's me with a voiceover. It's the crowning achievement of my career so far.
Now, kidding me. Now, wait a second.
This better not be the same thing for Laker games. I'll tell you that right now. If I get Sleet, I'm going to be pissed.
Well, they don't love me over there, so you may have a better shot than I do.
You notice I've been the one that's been really high on legacy, and George has been saying it sucks. You see what I'm saying?
By the way.
You know what it could be? When they put you guys up there, Sedano, it could just be like old school where they put that blue dot over your face like you were on trial. You were testifying, and they didn't want to reveal your identity.
Yeah.
They could just put that up there.
Although, the funny thing is, like the people there that allegedly give grief about things that I say, I'm not saying it because I'm trying to be a jerk. I want them to win and be good. It's good business for all of us when they're good.
Stop telling the truth.
Yeah.
Stop telling the truth and you'll be fine.
Yeah. And I was actually on a flight with Jeannie for Summer League, and she was so nice. It was like a very nice conversation.
Well, yeah, but I mean, face to face, of course she's going to be nice.
No, but I don't think she cares anything about what I say on the air. At least I don't think. Maybe not. But anyway, so how does Slee feel about this? Because you know, if it was Mason and it was just Ireland on there, he would literally he would consider like jumping off a balcony.
I think Al is okay because it's more me in my capacity as the Rams pre-half and post-game show host as it is because I mentioned Travis and Sliwa. I mentioned Mason and Ireland. I mentioned Sedano and Cap. I mentioned Rams All Access.
Right.
So it's talking about the app and everything you can get there as opposed to just our shows. But it's an interesting look. I don't look the terribly athletic, and not that I ever really do, but this is put it this way. Had I known that it was just going to be me, I might have gone on a program for a couple of weeks leading up to it. I may have approached my physicality slightly differently. But, you know, it is what it is, and we'll go from there.
Now, we started a segment here, ironically, because Kaplan says his daughters, when they want something for him, they literally call him, and just the first thing out of their mouth is, hey, King, and then they ask for something outrageous, like his one daughter who goes to school at Tulane wanted tickets this weekend to the Saints and Bucks, and Cappy had to call in a favor. So we started a ridiculous segment called Hey, King, and the irony is it's really Ask Slee, but we just did it Hey, King. So do you have a Hey, King question for Cappy? Kaplan.
Is there any outrageous hookup that you need from me, Trav, that I could do for you?
Well, my Ask King would be, if Ask Slee did not win any Mandy's, does that mean that Ask King has no chance?
It's Hey King.
Hey King, different.
But my thing is,
Hey King,
if Hey King actually wins the next Mandy Awards for that particular category, I feel like Alan may also jump off a balcony.
And if it wins, Emily and Lindsay are going
to fight.
They're just going to throw hands
no
immediately.
Doubt. Yeah, get him in the octagon.
All right, I'm there for that. I'll be the Michael Buffer or whoever. Bruce Buffer,
yeah.
That's right.
Bruce
that's
is
right.
UFC.
Michael does boxing. Yes. Yeah, Michael does boxing. Bruce does the UFC. I'll be like their weird brother, Mike Buffer.
Okay.
I'll just show up.
There you go.
I'm assuming there's another brother, and I'll show up and do that. I'm trying to think. What do I? If in the event I get a stiff neck, you promise not to crack my neck. Hey, King. Does that work?
I could probably make that happen for you. The King could make that happen.
The King can make it happen. So there you have it.
Dude, does the King have to refer to himself in the third person
no question.
As the King?
Absolutely.
Me and LeBron both do.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yes. I love it.
Travis and Sliwa, weekday mornings at 10 a.m. He'll join us every Thursday at 5:15. Thanks for stopping by, man, and doing doing it with our nonsense.
Talk to you guys next week. And if anything good on social media happens, make sure to bring it up on Thursday.
Yes, we will. We will. We'll do that.
We'll make sure we send it to you.
Right on.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Actually, Christopher, I'm going to take it away and then eventually toss it to Lindsay.
Because Radio Tinder is presented by our friends at Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala. Award-winning small batch premium sipping tequila made from the finest mature agaves. Available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com, and demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala. By the way, we're going to give away more of those SoFi passes to go check out the best stadium in the world. You can tour the locker rooms, run through the tunnel, all that stuff. See the suites. We're going to give that away in the last hour. So make sure you keep it locked for that. Last hour, we're going to give away four passes for that. Go ahead, Lindsay. Take it away.
Thanks, Sedano. Super excited. So tennis great Roger Federer has announced his retirement today. He wrote a lengthy note on his social media account saying, in part, quote, "I'm 41 years old. I played more than 1,500 matches over 24 years. Tennis has treated me more generously than I ever could have dreamt, and now I must recognize when it's time to end my competitive career." He went on to say that his final ATP event will be at the Laver Cup next week in London. So now with no...
Is it the Laver Cup?
I think it's Laver.
Yeah. Laver, Rod Laver. Laver. Yeah. You know, same thing.
The only reason I know that is I literally just ran into Rod Laver just about 2 weeks ago, who's a much, much older gentleman now.
He must be super famous if he has a whole tournament named after him.
Well, he was like the
big men's tennis player. Like, he was like the Pete Sampras and the Roger Federer of that era.
But I think he was also like the British guy who maybe, you know, was like, I think he won Wimbledon. Maybe, I don't know if he was the first guy or maybe the last guy to be British and win. But I just ran into him.
He wasn't the last guy.
No,
They've had someone more
recently. I don't know.
Andy Murray won it recently.
This is why go ahead. Let's hear what the question is going to be. Because
so, now with Roger Federer retiring and then Serena just retiring, is there anyone currently who makes you want to watch tennis right now?
Oh, dude, that kid Alcaraz, the Spanish kid who won the U.S. Open, he's 19 years old. He did in the quarterfinals, he had a match that I watched until 11:50 at night Pacific time. It was that incredible. Like, he came back down 2-1. It was insane. And he had this one play where the ball, he's so athletic for like a small guy. He hit the ball. He overran the ball, hit it behind his back midair.
Yeah.
He jumped in midair, hit it behind his back. I watched that thing on Twitter like 17,000 times in a row.
That must be the guy that John Ireland was talking about, right?
I don't know. I
guess he loves tennis, and he said that there's this young guy who's really good, and
Alcaraz.
Smacks the ball at him, and he smacks it right back.
He was incredible.
What's the guy's name, though? Does anybody know? He's the guy that like yells and screams at the referee. He's kind of like got a McEnroe-y.
Oh, Kyrgios.
See, like that to me, I like personalities, but I feel like this whole Federer, Nadal, like this era for me, I feel like I missed it all.
Well, why?
Because I was like, as a kid, McEnroe, Connors, Borg, like I liked all those guys.
Right, and then as a young adult, was like
Sampras, Agassi.
No, but you missed in between. There was like Lendl, Boris Becker,
yes,
and
okay,
all them
very
guys.
Good. Yeah. Right. And then
Sampras, Agassi, and those guys.
And then Sampras, Agassi was kind of like my guys.
Yeah, they were great.
And then I haven't really been as into tennis. I actually was more into the female side of the Venus Serena side.
Right, because they were American. Side. That's what it was.
Probably.
Yeah,
probably so.
And I understand that, but I, too, originally was like that, and then I started to get into Rafa versus Federer. I watched their match on Wimbledon match they had in 2008 on a plane, and right then and there, I was hooked. And I became a Rafa guy. Not that Roger, you know, Roger's great too. I mean, he's one of the greatest of all time. But I became a Rafa guy at that point. I don't like Novak Djokovic. He's not my guy. But I was right about Rod Laver. He had 11 Grand Slams.
Oh, really?
So before Pete Sampras passed that record, he had the record.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he's, I don't know how old he is.
What, 84.
I ran into him. This is funny. I ran into him in a bar. Yeah.
In San Diego?
Uh-huh. And because he lives down there, and he was with a guy I know who's a sports writer.
Yeah.
He said, hey, we just got off the golf course. He goes, do you know Rod Laver? I'm like, of course I know Rod Laver.
Yeah.
And then I had to explain to my girl, I'm like, you don't even understand who we're talking to right here.
Rachel.
Right. That's Rod.
Yeah.
I just watched a documentary about John McEnroe.
Oh, that's a great documentary.
Yeah. The one on Showtime?
I haven't seen it.
It's about him. It's just called McEnroe.
Sneaky. Showtime's a sneaky good documentaries. They're
some
one,
of the best ones I've ever seen are on Showtime.
The
yes.
Lance Armstrong one on Showtime?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, dude.
I'd love to see that
out
one.
Of control. I saw it years ago.
Oh.
But it's like 10 years old probably now.
Oh, then maybe I thought you were talking about something new.
No. But it's great. If you've never seen it, watch it.
Have you ever seen the one called Disgraced about the whole Baylor thing with the kid who got killed and stuff?
I don't. I did
oh
not.
Oh, my God. That is one of, that's probably top three best documentaries ever. It's called Disgraced. You have to watch that because it's insane.
Yeah. The two Escobars, I've seen that, obviously, with the Colombian national soccer team where Andres Escobar got killed after an own goal against the U.S. So.
Yeah, but people like tweet at me all the time and ask about documentary wrecks. Watch Disgraced. It's amazing.
Okay.
All right. So next one.
Amazing.
Not even a romantic vacation in Italy can stop LeBron from prepping for his 20th NBA season.
Oh, yeah. LeBron's putting out the workout videos. Cappy, you should do that.
You should
do that.
Yeah.
Especially,
definitely should.
And I should do exactly what he's doing. I should put on those really tight, like, compression pants.
Yeah, like tights.
You know? And then I should wear no shirt, and you'll see the difference of what my body looks like versus LeBron's.
Well, maybe by the end of it, you'll look like him.
It's not that different.
No, not at all.
Other than the tattoos.
So, yeah, he was over in Portofino. He's been there for the past couple of weeks with his wife. And he was getting in some much-needed R&R. But also, as we're talking about, he was working out, you know, hardcore, doing all kinds of squats, dumbbells, you know, with all the good stuff to show off his chiseled abs and his awesome tights that he was wearing. And he looks amazing, as usual.
I just don't know if I'd have the drive to try to, like, look like that at this stage of my life. Like, he's almost my age. Like, he's not that much. He's, like, 7 years younger than I am. And it's like, I could never. Like, I don't have the drive to do that anymore.
Well, I mean, look at.
I just had a great Castle's burger a little while ago.
Oh, half of one. It was really good.
Do you think he ever eats stuff like that? Like, you're going to eat
definitely.
Fast food?
But he also runs up and down 94 feet, you know, for 6 months or longer out of the year. So that helps, too. But he's an incredible. He's one of the, like, best looking, as far as, like, body types. Best body I think I've ever seen in sports, period.
He's a physical specimen.
Specimen, yeah.
So my question is, do you guys normally work out when you're on vacation? Swipe left or swipe right? Cappy.
I'm going to swipe right, always.
Me too.
Always.
Yeah.
I don't.
But I got a theory on it.
Yeah, which is?
My theory is I work out when I'm on vacation or on the road or whatever because I know I'm going to eat bad.
Right. Yes, of course. Like, that's part of the fun. Like, when you're on, like, when I go on vacation, I always think of it like this. 1 hour of effort, 23 hours of fun. That's how I always feel about it. In fact, when LeBron is in, you said Portofino?
Yeah.
Yep.
A couple of years ago when I was in Italy, I was doing exactly the same thing. I would go
for
a run.
You're on a yacht with tights, working out.
Actually, precisely, as a matter of fact. Yeah, I'll show you pictures. It'll blow your mind.
Yeah.
So, I would get off the yacht, and then I would go onto the shore, and then I would just run, and then I'd go to the beach because, you know, the girls were laying around topless, so I'd go watch that for a little while. I'd run by like, you know, ooh, look what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so always exercise on vacation. Always.
So I don't work out. Like, if I have, like, a routine, I do yoga and, you know, cardio, but I don't work out, per se, when I go on vacation. But I was telling Sedano, that's because I do all kinds of other stuff. You know, like, when I went on vacation to Disney World with my family, we walked, like, 5 miles a day when I was in Disney World. So I feel like that's probably more.
That is good exercise.
Yeah, more exercise than I would have gotten. And when I was camping, I went hiking a lot. So, you know, I still work out, but not my normal, typical.
By the way, I'm getting a word that Rod Laver, Australian, not British.
Yeah, Australian.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, point of information for everybody that cares.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know where you were going with the Wimbledon thing.
I don't know either. I don't know. I guess I made it all up.
No, they all just bleed together, you know?
Yeah.
All right, real quick, last one here. So, Shaq, you know, he played with a lot of guys over his 19-year NBA career, but when he was asked on his podcast, the big podcast with Shaq, who his worst teammate was, he barely paused before he said a name.
Oh, I know who it is.
I know you know who it is. Cap, do you have any guesses?
I could have a couple of guesses.
Give me two guesses.
Take a guess, and then if after two guesses, I'll start giving you some hints.
Penny Hardaway.
Nope.
Okay. Kobe.
Nope.
No.
Okay. So
although he did once call Penny Hardaway Fredo of the of the three stars he played with.
And then, you know, just watching the last episode of Legacy and all the problems that they had with Kobe before they won a championship. So those are two names that popped into my mind.
Okay, so I would say
he was on the Lakers with this guy.
He was on the Lakers with this guy briefly. He also played. He won 5 championships in his career.
You're talking about like Robert Horry?
No, Robert had more.
Okay.
But that's like you're getting a little closer.
Okay. How about John Sally?
No, it wasn't John Sally.
Okay.
He seems like a nice guy.
John Sally is a nice guy.
He's all right.
I would say, okay, he played for the Detroit Pistons.
Okay. It's John Sally. That was a good, yeah. Okay.
Uh huh.
He had a very famous...
Like Rodman?
Type? Yeah.
That's
really?
Rodman. Yep. Yeah. Yep. He said that was, no question, the worst teammate that he's ever had. So, now that you've guessed it, do you guys have a worst teammate that you can think of and that you would want to name? Probably
worst
not name,
teammate.
But you know. Figured I'd ask you guys, see if
Is
I can get something out of you.
Worst teammate? I don't know. Like, I'd have to... the fact that I got to think about it probably means, like, there's... I don't know. I can't think of someone off the top of my head. I'm sure there's people I didn't like working with, but not anyone that sticks out that much that I can, like, say off the top of my head.
When I was in college, playing ball in college, I had a couple of guys that were just terrible teammates. And what I mean by terrible is they didn't work out.
Yeah.
They didn't put in the effort. Mm. So they were big and they were, you know, they had talent,
right.
But they never really achieved because they didn't put in the effort. And
right.
They also were bad locker room guys.
Yeah.
So when you're lazy and everybody else is giving everything they got and you're not, and you're a bad locker room guy, those were bad teammates.
What about radio?
I've had a couple of teammates in radio that are also not team players
right.
That I've really not enjoyed working with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few of those for sure. But I don't know if I'd want to name any of them.
Yeah, I figured you guys wouldn't.
I don't want to give them any shine.
Yeah, you know? I figured you wouldn't.
Any shine.
I figured I'd
like that.
Don't give them no shine.
No shine.
Yeah.
Don't even acknowledge them.
Yeah. So, all right, that is Radio Tinder each and every day at 5:30-ish. So make sure you stay tuned to that. Oh, come on, baby.
God, I haven't heard of these guys in ages. Wilson Phillips, man.
Do you ever watch Bridesmaids?
No, I don't think so.
Funny movie. You haven't watched that?
I don't think so.
I think you'd like it.
My next movie that I need to spend time on is American Psycho, because my buddy keeps telling me that American Psycho is this amazing
like
movie.
Like Christian Bale from like 20 years
right,
ago?
So good, though.
I got this buddy of mine, David, who keeps telling me, he's like, dude, you're not picking up any of the lines that I'm putting down, are you? And I'm like, no.
Did he say things about like Phil Collins and when he was part of Genesis and Huey Lewis in the News?
You know, I think he did say something about Phil Collins.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're not getting any of this, are you? And I'm like, not really. And he's like, American Psycho? And I'm like, I don't know the movie. He's like, you don't know American Psycho? And I'm like, no, I don't. So that's my next, older kind of movie that I need to catch up to.
I doubt you're actually going to do it.
Well, it's funny you say that because a friend of mine texted me, have you read my book yet? So a friend of mine wrote a book, sent it to me, and it's sitting on my desk, and he's like, have you read my book yet? I'm like, just no. No, I haven't.
Yeah, you're not.
Because I just don't have the time or the bandwidth.
You haven't even subscribed to Blake's Substack with all his great Dodger information. Our weekly guest here, Blake Harris, Dodger Insider. Subscribe to his Substack, Blake Harris. Follow him on Twitter, at Blake Harris, TBLA. And now you're part of another venture, too. You're blowing up, kid.
Yeah, I really need to try and keep everything together. Luckily, my girlfriend got me a planner a couple weeks ago. So now I'm able to keep track of what exactly I'm doing every day because there's like 4 or 5 different things going on. But yeah, exciting times. But still number one on the planner every day is getting on the Sedano and Cap show every Thursday night.
A planner. Now, this makes me happy to hear you say this because that makes you sound like a boomer and everybody calls me a boomer. You mean to tell me you don't just use your calendar in your phone?
Yeah, I'm not good with that kind of stuff because I get notifications for everything. Like if I go see a movie, I'm getting notifications that I have movie tickets and that's too much. So I got the old fashioned planner. We got Monday through Friday. I'm writing stuff down. I think it comes with like stickers and everything, some colorful notes. So I'm going to make good use of this. But yeah, I don't even know if I had to go get a planner, where you even go to get one of those unless you're using Amazon. So
at our house,
my girlfriend came up clutch with this.
At our house, because the kids and us and me and, you know, there's a lot of different people moving parts, my wife, we have just a dry erase board.
Well, that's cool. That's a smart idea.
Yeah. And it just, my wife, you know, it's like a calendar on the dry erase board. And we just put in the days and everybody's got a different color.
I can't believe you don't use like a Google calendar.
I used to have one of those.
Yeah, they're good. But like a Google calendar on your phone. Like what I do every day is I have my Google calendar pulled up on my computer. And then it tells me, hey, you got to call at this time. And then I click on it and it's got a Zoom link. And then I've got to call at this time. I'm feeling pretty techie right now. I'm feeling pretty savvy, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I think the roles are actually reversed here, Cap. You're like the younger generation right now, and I'm like the older generation that's about to watch the news at 6 p.m. The roles are flipped now.
All right. Well, I like that.
Balake, we were having a discussion about the Dodgers. And look, John Ireland, we love him, but he can be a little bit of a party pooper. He says, no celebration. No need to celebrate. You've won. You're good. This is expected. I think two things can be true. Yes, their goal is to win a World Series, but I think you should enjoy the small moments because we're living in the greatest moment in Dodger history in the sense of sustained success. Where do you lie on all this?
Yeah, I agree. From a fan's perspective, I can see kind of getting bored with clinching the NL West and winning the division every year, but we have to remember that not every team in baseball goes on a historic stretch like this. I mean, my roommate from Arizona is 24 years old and doesn't have any recollection of his team, the Seattle Mariners, ever winning the division. So it's a big deal for a lot of people. And you have to remember, there are, you know, players on the Dodgers that have never gone to the postseason, like Andrew Heaney, Yancy Almonte, Tyler Anderson. So it's still a huge deal for guys like that. And I'm glad that they celebrated. I get that, you know, you're going to be celebrating a lot during the postseason, maybe having a few too many champagne showers, but winning the division is still a huge deal in baseball. And I like that they celebrated, even though it looked like they won just another game, which I kind of liked. But I like that they went crazy and were pounding like 10 Budweisers in the clubhouse after the game.
All right, so Blake, with about like less than 20 games to go, maybe like down to the last 20 or so, what are the things that you're looking for from the Dodgers here? There's no stretch run. There's no playoff push. What are you thinking about here in these last 20 games?
Well, if it was up to me, I'd be heading down to Dodger Stadium and personally wrapping Mookie, Trey, and Freddie in bubble wrap and making sure they're good to go for the next 3 weeks, because you're in an interesting stretch because you want to make sure you preserve injuries, guys don't get hurt, because we saw last year Kershaw, Muncy, they went down with a couple weeks left in the season. I think you just want to have guys getting consistent reps, getting ready for the postseason. I think maybe potentially giving some guys work in the bullpen that are fighting for a spot in that bullpen come October, because there's only going to be 12 or 13 spots and they're probably going to be 15 or 16 arms. So I think something like that. Also maybe giving guys like Miguel Vargas, maybe guys like, you know, rookies down in the farm, some run room just to see if maybe they could potentially be contributors in October. But I think the most important thing is stay healthy. And again, don't get too complacent and remember that you still have a task at hand, and that's winning the World Series in October.
Yeah, and one of the things George and I were talking about yesterday and actually earlier this week was about Craig Kimbrel. Has he changed your mind? You said a few weeks ago on your Substack article that I didn't read, you said that, you know, you thought he might not even be on the postseason roster. Has he changed your mind?
I think Craig Kimbrel actually might be a subscriber to the Substack, because I'm pretty sure after I posted that,
that's when it all turned around.
He just went on an insane stretch where he just went on the insane stretch and said, I'm going to prove this Blake Harris guy wrong. I get that he, you know, blew the game last night, but the pitch that was hit for the game-winning home run wasn't even a bad pitch. That was just a pitch that was somehow hit out for a home run. So I'm not too concerned after that outing last night. And we have to remember, he's been pretty dominant for a three-week stretch. I mean, he hadn't allowed a run, I think, in like 9 games, something like that. So I still am going to be a bit worried with him on the mound in maybe a one-run game in October. But if he's on the mound in a 2 or 3-run game, I don't think I'm concerned, which is a huge step forward than where I was a month ago. I said in the article, I didn't want him on the mound unless the lead was 5 runs. But give me a 2 or 3-run lead, and I think Craig Kimbrel's the guy. But a 1-run lead, I'm not there just yet.
Blake, Blake Harris, our Dodger insider, joins us every Thursday at 5:45. Follow him on Twitter at Blake Harris TBLA. Join his Substack. Subscribe there. He's given great Dodger information. Look, man, we bring him on for a reason because he's really good. So, is Tyler Anderson in your playoff rotation right now or no?
He is. I think he's earned it. I have him in my four. As of right now, based on Tony Gonsolin's health, I think the top four is pretty much locked and loaded. Looks like it's going to be Julio Urias, Clayton Kershaw, Tyler Anderson, and Dustin May would be my fourth. I think Andrew Heaney and Tony Gonsolin, especially if Gonsolin's able to return, they're going to kind of play that piggyback role where they can come in for two or three innings if needed, if a starter doesn't go long. Or even if you have Tony Gonsolin or Andrew Heaney as a one-inning guy, I think that's going to be huge. But Tyler Anderson, I mean, he's been one of the more consistent starters in all of baseball this year. And, you know, I wrote about this the other day, probably the biggest bargain of the entire offseason. I wouldn't say he's the best signing of the offseason for the Dodgers because of Freddie Freeman, obviously. But you can make the case he's been the most valuable because he was signed for essentially nothing, wasn't expected to be a starter. And I don't know what his numbers are exactly at the moment, but he's going to be getting Cy Young votes, which is crazy. And the Dodgers would not be in this position without him. They'd probably be up by only 10 or 11 games in the division without him.
Really? Oh, they'd be struggling down the stretch then.
It'd be close. It'd be close.
I mean, they've just run away with this thing so far, and it's not even, I mean, it's just not even entertaining. Like, there's no, like last year, remember, it was San Francisco and the Dodgers, and me and George were sitting here arguing about whether or not the Dodgers should be going for the division win. They won this thing so long ago that it's, again, it's just not even entertaining. Like you said, bubble wrap those guys, make sure they're healthy, get them ready for the postseason, because now it's World Series or bust.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of a reason why a lot of people maybe aren't as excited about this division win. It's because they've essentially had it clinched, you know, since the end of July. Like, we all knew this was coming, whereas last year, like you said, it literally went down until game 162, and a couple of years ago it went down to game 163. I don't think we've seen a team in recent memory clinch this early. But like you said, at this point, still World Series or bust. It's going to be interesting to see what they do these next 3 weeks. Because like I said, you need to make sure you do whatever you can to stay healthy. Like, I don't care if they go 0-19 to close the season. If they have everyone healthy going into October, that's more important to me.
There he is, your man, Blake Harris.
Blake Harris. He is our man. Follow him on Twitter. Subscribe to his Substack. Come on, man. Let's go. Make sure you do this right. Blake, thank you so much for the time, brother. As always, we appreciate it.
Sounds good. Hope you guys have a great weekend.
All right, Balake.
All right, Cappy, coming
up
next.
Just look at this. Just look what Patrick Mahomes just did. This guy, he is really, truly unbelievable.
Yeah. The Chargers, they're leading right now, yeah. But their lead has been cut down significantly. Yeah, it's like a crazy run, sidearm, kind of almost even partially underhanded. Right. Yeah, but we got a break.